the curators of Joy, Inspired by Nature, at the Herbert Art Gallery and Museum, which bloomed on the 20th of July. 9 weeks summer show. So I'm Marianne Tuffiner.
And I'm Nicola Richardson.
And together we are Vortex
Creates.
Created right here in Coventry when we met back in 2003. Carnival Capers and all that.
Yes. I think what was weird about us meeting is that while it was the first time us meeting each other during Carnival, brought together under the wonderful Kathy Leahy to create, as you say, crazy things. I think everybody assumed we knew each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, I think that kind of same values, same work ethic, just a similar vibe kind of just put, made everybody think we were already together. And like crazily for years, Kathy never put us as a pairing on Carnival because she thought we always worked together and we would like a bit of working with other people.
Yeah. Because there was also that crossover as well with, like, I will be called Nicola and you will be called Maz. Because also, if we rewind, your hair is not naturally red. So there was a little bit more, I mean, we didn't look alike, but there was a little bit more of a similarity. And I think that whole, I think we did have that opportunity to work together with the competition Mad UK that ran in the city underneath Imagineer Productions, which was to design and make a wearable piece of art. Mm. But as we both come from a fine art sculpture background, we also like the idea of it being great on the performer, but then also looking great as a piece of artwork when it wasn't being worn.
Yes, and that was the year that you got your... You got your lycra bodysuit on.
Guest in mass.
And you were the model for our first ever costume together, weren't you?
As a weather front.
That was like, I think we've always really liked playing with materials and recycling stuff that we had, because that first costume was all recycled from plastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, sewn plastic.
Yeah. So we did that twice, and then in the third year, third time's a charm.
Yep.
We won, didn't we?
We did, and got commendation, best in show, with guest judge Xandra Rhodes. Mm. And the next day, Vortex Creates was formed. That was back in 2008, when we were on the cusp of the Olympic handover. And I think because our costume was based on a vortex, and it was very kinetic and moved, I think there was a big connection with, because people were obsessing about the rings at that point, they could see the connection between the Olympic rings and a moving spinning ring costume. So we were asked to make it in the multiple by one company, which, and we love a multiple,
and we went down to London and made a massive spinning piece, which was a costume comes piece of set for dancers to dance around for the Cultural Olympiad. And I think all of those opportunities that came out of that collaboration together made us form Vortex to kind of make it official.
Yeah.
That we would, you know, that we would design and collaborate together. And I think in the early days, it was a lot about costumes and kinetic costumes and very carnivalesque work with constructed textiles. And then our work naturally, I think, because we're both come from that sort of installation background, morphed into transforming spaces and working with bringing alive environments for people to be in, to celebrate in, to showcase things in. So yeah, it's been a whistle stop journey of lots of making and designing, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think, like, I know people are probably quite fascinated in how we do work together, because I think we are an unusual collab when we are both, I would say, strong-minded. We know what we like, we know what we want. Yet when we come together, we like it works. I feel like there's no ego, which is, I think, quite rare in like the world that we living, because there's always like wanting or needing, I think, this like sense of ownership. But actually a vortex idea, yes, of course one of us will start that spark, that idea. But I think the way that we work and layer it and what it becomes, almost at the end, I can't remember whose idea it originally was.
Because
the end result is something way different than that, that the first spark was.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, those people in the world that know me will know that I am very big on collaboration and what collaboration actually means. And I think one of the reasons that makes me so passionate about talking to other people about collaborating is what we have together. Because actually, it is that thing. It's like what we create is vortex. Like, we're both talented individuals, but actually what we create together is better than the sum of it. Like, it is a constant building and layering. And as you say, at the end of it, you don't know where it started, or it might be, oh, I remember you brought that book in, or you said this, and then suddenly it builds and it doesn't matter, does it? It's all about what it looks like at the end. And
What it looks like, what it brings to others. I think that is a big thing in our work, that we like the enjoyment that other people can get from our work, whether it is like aesthetically and it's a visual thing, or I think, like, as you touched on, the way that actually, although we've got our artist practice, we've like gone into the events world and have brought like a more creative approach into there. And I think like the way that we can look and walk into a space and we know uplights and sound are one thing, but how you actually really make that space feel by maybe how you can use like fabric or, you know, then nice little details that come across, or just landing something bonkers that nobody would think about. I think it's allowed us to survive as vortex, although I feel like now we're almost in another phase of like recycling ourselves, so to speak.
We've always been about creating joyful environments.
Yes.
And making decisions that make people feel great and welcome within a space. And although we are visual designers, it has always gone deeper in terms of how do things sound, how do things smell, how do we get a person to feel a particular way within a space. But I think also lots of people want job satisfaction and don't necessarily get it. But I think we've always been about the joy in our practice, and actually, although there's been lots of hard times and times of sadness, we get through it through our making and creating and actually just enjoying working together. And
yeah, I was going to say, they're having like one another to bounce off. I know like not everybody has that in our world. So it, I think it's a special relationship.
It is a special relationship. And I think it was that kept us going through, you know, COVID feels like a million miles away, but also very, very close. Yeah. A million miles away? COVID feels like a million years ago, but actually in reality isn't. And it's still quite fresh, I think, in lots of people's minds. And I think what COVID did for us was almost give us a really deep period of reflection as to where have we come from, what have we been doing, and what do we want to do moving forward. We're no spring chickens anymore, are we? And I think life is too short to just not be doing things that you want to really do and really focus on. And I think we were lucky, and we are lucky, that we were able to kind of almost hit pause and go, what is it that we've talked about over the last 16 years of working together that we want to move forward with?
Yeah, sure. I mean, because it was a forced pause for everyone at that beginning time. But I think because we hit stop before we'd even gone into lockdown with the work falling out the diary, and then like the event sector was one of the longer ones to like get back into it. It's, I would say it's not about, at the time, didn't know what was going on, and it was like scary just seeing all your work fall out. But now I'm like, I think it's the best thing ever. Like, I would never want to go through that. But actually, for us and like where we are now and being able to bring joy, I think it's so easy, isn't it, to get into like this cycle. But actually, because we were forced to stop and like you say, and reflect and really motor through with joy, we, and bring up the conversations and the connections back with the Herbert, like, joy would not be here, I don't think, without that pause moment for us.
No.
Not in the same way or as soon.
No, not at all. And also, you know, because over COVID, when we couldn't physically go to work and create things we wanted to create, we were in a big period of research, weren't we? Mm-hmm. Looking at joy, yep. Sending out questionnaires, talking to people, and, you know, and looking at what research is out there regarding joy and joyful moments, and how can you elicit joy in your audiences and viewers. And, you know, one of the key things about joy is, like, can you ever have a joyful moment if you haven't experienced the absolute polar opposite? You know, what is happiness if you haven't been sad? And so it kind of is like, you know, maybe COVID is like a big catapult that has just like moved us forward into that kind of joyful period. And then it has been just really exciting thinking about joy for everybody else, yeah. And then what joy means to us.
Sure. And I think, like, I know we were, and like a lot of people were like, because why the nature and the joy and nature? And I think like we were out experiencing our own environments more on our doorstep. And
yes, I think nature is one of those things you take for granted and you see all the time. It's like the buildings around you, the spaces around you. You walk past and don't necessarily get time to focus.
Yeah, to properly see. I guess, isn't it? And then like realizing like what is there and what gives you the joy, and those, my gosh, those endless blue skies. As I look out the window now, it's an endless blue sky, but back then it was endless blue skies.
It was endless blue skies, and it was because some of the places you would always visit or you'd visit on a day-to-day basis were perhaps closed. Like, I know, like, my husband and I wouldn't say my husband and I to you, would
no.
I?
No, you wouldn't.
I would say Greg and I.
Yeah.
But these people don't know who Greg is.
Oh, a lot of people know who Greg is. Greg's the man.
Yeah, during COVID, Greg and I would try and vary our walks and find and discover places within those parameters and seek out spaces and new places. And I do think that both of us are very much have that mindset of seeking out things, going and finding. And the whole seeing things differently reminds me of when we filled Birmingham, Floozy in the Jacuzzi.
Victoria Square
with tons of blue furniture, creating a space that other people, in theory, have landed in to create their home and make a kind of joyful celebration around this Floozy in the Jacuzzi who became this golden goddess. You know, that commission was all about how do you get people to stop and notice and see something differently and see something else within a space. So I think when you're, what you can do is limited, you do focus on a much, you start to focus on other things that you haven't seen before.
And but that connect with our brain, we're bold, we're colourful, we like detail. And I think like how these, our pieces have developed for this exhibition have been looking at the more like those neon flashes in nature, the more unusual, like the spirals. We like it's, and then to bring, it is the joy of the multiple, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, I don't know how you can explain it to anybody who doesn't love the multiple, but it's like, you know, you can go into a shop sometimes, can't you? And you see like 100 glass green bottles and it just looks so gorgeous, but you just know that that one glass green bottle would not quite be the same.
Yeah.
And there's something in that repeat. And sense of awe, I guess, in a way, isn't it, that you can get?
Yeah, and I guess that's what also came through with the research in nature and why people found nature joyful. Mm-hmm. It was about that repeat. It was about open space. It was about green. It was about those patterns in nature and the natural patterns that kind of occur. And you might not necessarily consciously see or understand them, but them just being part of the world mm-hmm. around you gives you kind of a visual spectacle that you see and can bring you joy
mm-hmm.
through that moment.
So we thought that this was a good idea, wasn't it? To like to recreate and do something. Mm. So we approached Herbert wanting a space to do a pop-up art installation and use it as a come and see, like, experimental piece, invite people along, get some feedback. And when we approached them about the space, actually, what happened is what we hope many people were able to come and see in Coventry was to take over Gallery One for 9 weeks of the summer just gone, summer 24. Which we were not expecting at all, were
no,
we?
Like no.
not in that capacity.
No, but I think because I think a lot. because ultimately, through the research of joy
mm-hmm.
and kind of we're practical people, aren't we, that kind of go, right, what's our stages to make joy happen as an exhibition?
Okay, yeah.
Like we started with the blue sky thinking and the big thing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which was underpinned by our research and past work and everything else. And then kind of going to the Herbert and saying, look, we just want to make this installation first so that we can, you know, we have something to build on and we can start to, you know, grow and develop and expand. And we've got this bigger vision. I think what's been really clear talking to lots of people and talking to people while the exhibition's been on is we're all looking for joy right
mm-hmm.
now. Like there are lots of crazy things happening in this world and lots of not very joyful moments.
Mm.
And actually lots of people are wanting to find joy or wanting to be proactive in taking action to create more joyful spaces and more joyful places for people to be. So I mean, it's a no-brainer for the Herbert not to want to bring joy to the masses.
With blue and pink walls.
With blue and pink walls and a bit of glitter. It's a very exciting space to be. But, you know, thank you, Herbert mm-hmm. Art Gallery, for seeing in what we were proposing this much bigger, more wonderful exhibition.
And I think a lot of that is testimony to the relationship that we've had with the Herbert. I mean, starting with yourself when you graduated from Coventry Uni right through to us being...
25 years.
through to us being co-curators on the Daniel Lismore Be Yourself Everyone Is Taken exhibition and many little nuances in between.
Well, it is, you know, it is Vortex's hometown, isn't it? You know, we're not from Coventry, but we have both been here
mm-hmm.
for decades now and have made it our home and yeah. have made sure that we, you know, we want to be part of the community within Coventry mm-hmm. And the creative community. So, yeah, it kind of comes back around to having good relationships and wanting to partner and collaborate with people to make better things happen.
Yeah.
I guess the other development of Joy mm-hmm. and one of the other reasons that the Herbert were interested in working with us is about the working with other artists and yeah. the involvement of other artists within the exhibition. And for us, it was about how do we sell it? You know, the main theme of the exhibition is the joy of nature, but actually on a selfish note, like it's the joy of making. And, mm-hmm. you know, another thing that came through really, really prominently throughout COVID was that actually lots of people started making mm-hmm. again and started exploring their own creativity. And actually, how could we celebrate within this exhibition what making does for the soul?
Mm.
And there is it's kind of twofold, isn't it? The process of making and you making something, but then also the appreciation of seeing something that someone else has made mm-hmm. skillfully, and perhaps something that you wouldn't necessarily be able to think of doing yeah. yourself. So it was I don't think I ever thought that 167 people would apply to be part of our exhibition, but
on that open call out, yes. And what a day of selecting and choosing. It was fun, and I think it allowed us to create that story that we feel like that exhibition does hold. And I think, well, for myself, I think maybe on the initial selection process, although we are very much about the narrative and the storytelling, it was more a case of that's nice, that's great, yeah, that fits well. But then actually we'd sort of like managed to do a short list of such which still needed culling. But then you started to look at work next to one another.
Mm.
And there was some really good work that we did have to say no to because it didn't fully tell that story once we started to plot the gallery.
And to have, I think what we have achieved with Joy is a real cross-section of art forms.
Yeah.
From, you know, a beautifully stone-carved limestone bulb.
Very classic.
Very classic, all the way to bonkers digital, you know, as my mum said, I don't really understand it, but I can't look away. because, you know, there's all different elements. And, you know, that classic, you know, who else can put a graffiti canary bottom next to, you know, a fine art painting? And, yeah. I guess the other thing to say about the selection process was that, you know, having Ryan... Having Ryan Hughes from the Biennial and Rosie Addenbrook from the Herbert Art Gallery... and Kirsty Lewis, who was curating the Herbert at the time and co-curating the show with us, it was a great mix of minds.
Yes, and it wasn't opinions. Just us two.
No,
everyone.
but having that different input, and because Joy is so Joy is so individual, and so is kind of personal taste in art. But it was about quality art that felt joyful in mm-hmm. some way, shape or form. And also the selection process was about not just having something that was just a carbon copy of what existed already. You know, there are some incredibly talented painters, mm-hmm. But I think we wanted something that took that artistic process and you know, made the artwork that was created was there was a, you could see the intervention of the artist in between. Mm-hmm. So that what you had was something, again, far better than it would have been, you know, not necessarily better. I'm not dissing nature, but like, what is the, you know, what is the artistic intervention and how does that become the joy, you know, what's made that a joyful process?
I think the way, once we had that final selection, I think that the way we were able to like play with scale on certain pieces that we had picked really brought something else to it. Mm. I'm thinking Aaron Law's Ancient Bluebells existed as a digital file. I don't think he would have ever have guessed we were going to ask him, could we blow that up, the size of the gallery wall, because we totally love it. And looks like that path that he's managed to capture in that gorgeous light just could like lead you out the other side of the gallery as if the gallery like exists.
And controversially, it is the one thing that is as nature is.
Yes.
But there is something about the way that Aaron has captured that. It with the way that the light is coming through, it's almost just a very precious moment in time that isn't always. And, and you certainly feel that. And as you say, that that pathway that kind of leads you out through the gallery, it felt like it couldn't not go in. And controversially, sorry, Aaron, it wasn't in the first shortlist.
No.
But when we came to the photo, we all went, that image is just breathtaking.
I think we came back on the selection process because we felt what we were missing was something that was actually capturing nature as nature is, to bring that balance. And I say, yes, that's when Aaron's came in. And actually, we can't believe it wasn't in that first cut, but that's how your journey goes, isn't it?
And as you say, it is, you know, the art of curation is about the individual works and how they stand up, but then how do they all play with each other and work together? And what I love walking into that space is the colour palette that is there is incredible, but it is a really distinct colour palette.
It is, but I feel it's a blended palette.
Yeah,
you know, yes, there's blue walls, there's pink walls, but actually the way that it is curated and you journey through that gallery.
But, you know, like Patrika's, you know, that pop of yellow in amongst it all. And then the kind of little, you know, the little accents of other colour around the space. I couldn't imagine those artworks not sitting together anymore.
No.
Like they all work so beautifully.
Yeah.
And I guess for me and for lots of people, one of the really exciting pieces in the show is Gavin Monroe's pieces, both on the entrance and then one statement piece towards the end of the gallery. And they are just beautiful sculptural objects. But the way they are created is, you know, as he says himself, is about collaborating with nature, asking a tree, will you please grow in this particular way? Obviously with some clever bits of, you know, propping and binding. But, you know, it is both natural and not natural in terms of the shapes that are made. But there's just something captivating by seeing those shapes and seeing the imperfections of the wood alongside that perfection of shape that he's managed to create.
I think, like, it can be quite overwhelming in that gallery. We're all on paper, should I say, in that sense that you've got the scent, you've got the sounds. It's a visual fest. But actually, there's a lot of calm can be found in there as well. And I think that is one thing that has stuck in my brain from people that do know us as Vortex and the Vortex style. I think maybe some people just think it was going to be like way wackier and just like fuller, busier, whatever. But just being overwhelmed by the colour, but saying how calm it also felt as well.
But I think also you know, yes, we've chosen very bold colours for the works to mm-hmm. sit on, but I think collaborating with Ashley James Brand for the sound and Gemma Costin for the scent, I think both of those elements have really changed the space.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, Gemma's scentscape that has she curated through the space to respond to the works and, mm-hmm. and where people are within that space. You know, that careful consideration of what scent does to make you feel, you know, embodied within a space and really present. Mm. And then Ashley's consideration of what those sounds are. So, you know, like it is a proper fascinating process that he has gone through in terms of looking at all the things we looked at to create our works in terms of fractal mm-hmm. And murmurations of birds, all of that kind of multiples mm-hmm. And the sounds in nature, but then how actually there is a chord sequence called joy.
Yeah.
and that it does have that tingly, joyful effect on you. And having, you know, it was great to work with him to have the four pieces that he's crafted to be part of our How Does Your Garden Grow mm-hmm. Installation.
The four seasons.
The four seasons, each different, but with, you know, similar undertones. You can mm-hmm. tell it is all by one artist, I think. Mm. And then how they interplay with that installation and then cut through to his overarching piece Journey, which sits within the gallery.
Yeah. So it's a really nice blend of like real field recordings and like sonic beats.
Mm.
It's like Arctic Sunrise and DJ Nature. Has anyone heard that owl? I love that when you hear that owl just go off in the corner.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? Which is by the Crocheted Pigeon.
By the Crochet.
Which is a sneaky little, it's almost like a little Easter egg in the exhibition, isn't it? Left by the wonderful Kirsty Lewis, who loves a bit of crocheting and crocheting a pigeon. It was always promised to us from the start of this exhibition process.
I think where Gemma has cleverly curated is, besides embodying everything you've said, how she's used familiar sense, and she's got a real love of nature and the hedgerow, and you know, like she's done a lovely sort of gram feed throughout this exhibition about how she's picked her scents and then like what artists she's put them to. But you know, to once you know what's in there, you can have moments of that's it, but how she's blended it with maybe like more unusual, it's not unusual, but like how she's blended the familiarity, maybe not as you would do in a scent shop, for example. I think that's where the real like magic of Gemma is, and the fact that you open those gallery doors and it hits you straight away, doesn't it? So I feel like you go into that gallery space and you're instantly somewhere else. I feel like I certainly feel like I've been like transported, and it's really nice to go back in after like a certain time of not being in that gallery space, and it's, I feel like I'm stepping back inside something new and go, oh yeah, you know, we say it in our interpretation, like taking that time to breathe, and I feel like I can go into that space and take the time to breathe in our own exhibition, which is like wonderful, hey.
There's also something clever about, like, I just remember when we had the artist gathering where we brought everybody together to kind of celebrate being part of this exhibition, to kind of tell them of our grand master plans and take them on that journey of joy. and Gemma was there with her scent pots and, you know, getting kind of feedback from everybody. And there was some definite, that is not joyful, yes. Get rid of that one.
Yeah.
But I just remember Polly Merridew's reaction to one of the scents that apparently her and Gemma were talking, and Polly was kind of like, well, this, I don't really like this smell. but I really do think it is my work. And it's absolutely true, because, you know, Polly's work is really vivid, and it does kind of transform you to being in the meadow and
that fresh cut grass.
Yeah, yeah, all of that. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what the smell does. Mm-hmm. But I also know what she means, that it's not necessarily my favourite scent, but actually in the moment and being with Polly's work, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's an incredible pairing. And then obviously, you know, your pina colada type over with them. Does my beak litter begin this?
Yeah, so just like does my beak look big in this, which is that carnival parrot, I like to call it. When that piece did get selected, it did get past comment that John had maybe got the good measure of us, and that did make me smile and actually make me like it even more.
Yeah, and
you know,
John is a really accomplished painter.
Yes.
And when we kind of saw all the other things that he probably could have selected.
Yeah, we did have a stalk on you, John.
actually, they're all really brilliant paintings, but we probably wouldn't have chosen them in terms of the narrative of the store, mm-hmm. of the exhibition and what we were kind of looking for, that we didn't know we were looking for until we found them. But yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
perfect for that spot. Perfect for the Vortex Girls.
And perfect peeping through our How Does Your Garden Grow, which is our installation piece, which is certainly noticeable when you walk in that gallery. And for us, throughout our career path, journey together, we have always been big reuse, repurpose people. And this is why we've just got like mounds of stuff behind us, haven't we? And like boxes of stuff and trinkets and bits. And we're like little magpies, and we can't bear to see things go to waste unnecessarily. And actually a big push for this project was that we wanted to create our hanging garden from reusing textiles that in themselves all hold their own story and memories. They've all been used for like projects that we have worked on together. So it's a lovely trip down memory lane while we were creating. And also there's something really satisfying about using what was just in a box on our shelf to come out, be repurposed, and like forever now exist as one of our botanicals in How Does Your Garden Grow.
It was really lovely at the private view for the exhibition, seeing other collaborators, so Mark and Sarah from Heidensprung, mm-hmm. for example, walking through the space, and there's the photographer captured it really well, of kind of Sarah pointing to one of the scarf plants and going, I recognise those scarves. They were in the Lost Gift at the Warwick Art Centre in 2015, was it?
A
long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So, definitely trip down memory lane. And I think what was really great in creating all of the plants was that kind of balance of being inspired by nature, looking at the plants that exist already, how mm-hmm. they grow, what their structure and makeup are, and then looking to our own collection of things and going, oh, that reminds me of that, mm-hmm. or that's an interesting shape, or we've got tons of this fabric left over or you know, used in something, and now we've got reams of it, what could we create with them. So yeah, I think we both really got a real kick out of, you know, I just remember you hanging up the crazy hanging structures that, you know, I think you'd picked up cheap somewhere, because going, oh, we need those wire things to hang decor from.
Or
yeah.
You know, we've all been there.
Or it might have even been donated from the wonderful Excelsior wholesale.
I think it was a donation, yes, again. Can't go to landfill.
We've just got them in our studio. And then you put in a putting a disco ball up and then me going, oh, look at this Commonwealth fabric that we'd salvaged from Commonwealth Games. Oh, that's exciting, sparkly. Let's create our own trumpet flower. And hence the disco trumpets were
born. It was a nice way of working that, actually, because I felt like we instantly like brought it off the paper. Like we were creating, we're lucky to have a suspended ceiling with like lots of different attachments that we can like hang things off. And the garden, we just started to grow the garden, didn't we? From the studio, like above us. We had to rule a lot of things out. But no, it really made us like look at things again differently, I think.
And
see the joy back in it again, you know, and...
Yeah, and to, yeah, just to be shaped by what you have.
Yes.
You know, and pulling out different fabrics and placing them together. And also with a mindset of how we were making and where we were making. Because the other really exciting thing about this project, which I guess we haven't really thanked the Arts Council. We've thanked the Herbert for the opportunity, but actually the Arts Council, you know, I think it's quite a testament to our practice that it's 16 years and this is our first project art grant as a company. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've been commissioned by lots of other people, but you know, this is our first project
grant. As us doing exactly what we want to do.
It's very exciting. So thank you, Arts Council. We really appreciate it. But what that also allowed us to do was to go, who else do we want to work with?
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously, we were able to commission Ashley and Gemma and bring other artists on board to the exhibition. But it also allowed us to bring in Abida Begum, who first came into our sites because I did a little bit of mentoring for her, then kind of indoctrinated her into the crazy world of Vortex, got her involved with a few projects and kind of, and just knowing that we wanted to work with her more and there were things that she could teach us and things we could teach her, and actually it's a great kind of development opportunity if we could work together, and this seemed like a brilliant project because I think her path has been more kind of textiles, clothing textiles and working on costume, and of, you know, the things that we've had her to do over the time and kind of gone, okay, we're going to say some giant wings now, like has kind of piqued her interest, and so it was a really brilliant opportunity for us to kind of get together and hang out and work together, and so it was that having someone else in that process of making and how to make and making these plants come alive. And also, how can we forget the wonderful group of workshop participants that decided that they would also like to come to the studio and be part of
our fabric botanist assistants,
and they were glorious.
Yes,
let's be honest, workshops can sometimes be far more hard work than it is if you just made it yourself. Like it's hard, isn't it? It is hard work. Like it's, you know, making sure that everybody's comfortable, there's things to do, but actually
multi-skilled, all of that.
It was a really beautiful process because actually we were just opening our doors, asking people to come and be part of what we were doing, part of our making.
And people are inquisitive, aren't they? And I think a lot of, there can be like a lot of secrets behind closed doors, but you know, we're not that sort of company, like, or people, because you know, you can pass on a skill or show how something is done to someone, to somebody else, and actually the journey that they then take that is into something that you never would have done. And I think it's just that wonderful morphing that goes on, and then you can go, ah, that's great, and you know, we can take that on board, and all of that, like, layering of But yeah, no, it's really, there was some like really nice mindful times during those workshops as well. And yes.
One of the key things people made, people also really like the hand stitching of the disco balls and.
Yeah, the use of the overlocker was just like. Yeah. Just, you know, that whole thing, like, again, like, I can forget what it was like the first time I saw an overlocker and jumped on it. But then just to sort of, like, see that magic in somebody else's face to actually be able to, like, use one and realise it's not such a scary thing as...
I think you can take for granted what you know.
Yeah.
And think, you know... Because I think there was a moment before we opened the doors on that first workshop going, is anybody actually going to be interested in this or enjoy sitting with us, piecing together like 50 scarves? Like, is that actually very exciting?
Yeah.
But it was, you know, because it's new, isn't it? But it was about the company and it was about just that process of making and mindful, as you say, mindfulness.
Mindfulness and the chatter that happened. And I think it just became quite an open space, really. I think people felt comfortable in it and, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, makers. You made it a really joyful experience.
So our beautiful yurt, which has been repurposed into now our glorious installation, Rewarding, which is a celebration of urban nature, really. Celebration of the buddleia, celebration of the ivy leaf, and how actually it can provide those items. Those elements of nature can provide a year-long food source for many things, particularly the bee. And I think that lovely trellis of the yurt, uncovered and just celebrating its structure, like we've created a real gorgeous cocoon around it, which is shimmering, I think, from the outside. But then you can go in and just feel like really... like a little nest. And
it's crazy how it is a very open weave structure, but how you feel being in it is very different to how you feel when you're on the outside.
Yes. I think probably like that element of how you have to duck in to go into the door. Because once you're inside, there is a vast space above you. But I feel like that ducking in, you really feel like you are like... entering quite an intimate space. And I think in the gallery setting it's really nice that you can still see out, so to speak, and the way that you position yourself around that yurt, you can enjoy other pieces in the exhibition in different ways. And with Kim's poem being in there as well, you can really take that moment to fully listen to her poem, and then like that make sense of the words that you've seen on the wall, which we've supersized up, which come direct from her poem, which again we think tells a really nice story as you go through the gallery as to why we've picked those out. I feel like the yurt, or our Rara piece Rewarding, is one of the most talked about pieces. I think it's been like a real anchor for people visiting the exhibition. I think for the engagement team and the programme they've built around it, we've heard some such lovely snippets, haven't we, of how on with the HAF programme, you know, like it was a great space for the children to be taken and just take their time out, because they can experience that in different ways, from standing up to sitting down to lounging on beanbags to being on a bench, and just actually how it brought everybody together. But with that downtime and almost calm them to give them focus to go back into the, like, their afternoon activities. I think that's certainly a comment that sticks in my mind. And then Amy and her singing workshop, which you did actually experience.
Take part in. It was like, beautiful singing in the yurt and being part of making
sound. How often can you sing in a gallery and in a yurt? You know,
I think there's something really, it's very our work. I think... It's interesting, I took my 7-year-old niece and I was like, could you tell me what two pieces Auntie Nikki is? That one and that one. It was, you know, there was just no hesitation. And I think for the, you know, the whole thing of that nature taking over and nature finding a way and that oversized nature, larger than life, really focusing on the beauty of the shape, beauty of the veins. I think that also kind of helps to feel... make you feel cocooned. And being on that yurt structure, I mean, that, as you say, that yurt has been on such a journey with us. It's been all sorts of things, and it started life on a Welsh hillside with someone actually living in it
for like, 15 years
15 years, roof over someone's head.
Yeah,
and it's such a, like, that is just a joyful thing in itself. Mm. That the structure of it and the physics of how that yurt goes up with three of us. Yep. In an hour.
Yep.
Is just incredible.
And you might ask why we even needed a yurt from a Welsh hillside, but
people that know us would not ask that question.
Who knows and who cares? Like, was it like thanks for listening to us.
Yeah, thanks. It's been joyful.
It has been joyful. And if you want to pop a follow at Vortex Creates across social platforms, you can check out and keep an eye on where Joy Inspired by Nature is going to pop up next, because we're planning a tour, people. We're planning a tour.